can stand and worship with us.
Stand in him complete, Jesus.
Jesus died my soul to save, and my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Saving this life, Lord, saving our lives, giving us second chances. We thank you, God, for all the things you've done for us, the many blessings you've poured out upon us. We pray, God, for this message that we're about to receive, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds, that it would draw us closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, we're bringing someone out of retirement to speak with you. Galen Goad, Samantha's other half. I didn't say better half. Doesn't have quite the voice that Samantha has. Galen is going to speak to us this morning and wind up our series on Sabbath. Wanted to kind of introduce Galen because it's been a while since he's spoken to us. He was one of the original Cornerstone elders and a part of our regular speaking rotation when we first started out. He retired from eldership when his third and fourth sons were born on the same day, and decided that had the good sense to step back from eldership in order to be a husband and father. I respect him for that and look forward to the point in the future when Galen comes back into eldership and we'll hear from him a little more frequently. But anyway, here's Galen.
Wow. I don't know if Mark mentioned it. I'm thinking about other things right now. So 7 years since I stood up here and spoke. Needless to say, I'm a little bit nervous. A little bit scared. Actually, a lot scared. I wouldn't want to fool you. But God can help me through it. So for you visitors that are here, Mike will be back next week. So he's on his sabbatical. He's been away for, this is the fourth week now. So make sure you come back next week. Don't draw all your conclusions from this morning. Okay, we've been discussing rest and the Sabbath for the last 6 weeks, or sorry, 3 weeks. So right now I'm going to ask you a pop quiz. I just used the two words. What was the first word I used? What have we been focusing on? Rest. That was a big hurdle for me to have y'all get that. It's an honest question. Have anybody here changed something that they've been doing since this series started? Have you really focused on taking some time to rest? Anybody? You've consistently made a change since this series started. Few hands. It's kind of what I expected, really. What was the other word I used? Besides rest, what was another word that we used? Sabbath. That's right. Two easy questions. Has anyone taken that step to make a whole day of it? We've only had a couple that just rested. It's hard, isn't it? In the way that life comes at us today, to even take a few minutes away and just rest. Think about what God has done for us. Now, the hardest question I'm going to ask you to in your pop quiz, where's Mark? Where did he go? He's back there. Mark used a word in his message the first week. Sorry, Mark, this is what really stood out to me, and it's just weird how my mind works. He used the Hebrew word that we derive Sabbath from. Does anyone remember what that Hebrew word was? Shabbat. Don't ask me why I remember that. Shabbat. It's just fun for me to say. Everybody say it. Shabbat. That's just really what stuck out to me in Mark's message. And that's weird. That's just an indicator of how weird I am, I guess. Does anyone remember what Shabbat meant? What was the one word? Cease. Cease from all your striving. Truly rest. So, up until now, in the last 3 weeks, we've really focused on the rest portion of the Sabbath. Just sitting down, being still before God. There's something else I want you to bring your attention to this morning. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 12. This is the listing of the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. What's the word in that I want you to focus on this morning? Remember. A key point that God wanted the children of Israel was to remember that you were slaves in Egypt. When he said this, I often think of what must be going through their mind when he says, remember. You have to understand what they were going through. They were in Egypt. They were slaves. They were being oppressed, beaten. Remember the 10 plagues, the things that happened to get Pharaoh to let them go. But he hardened his heart, and he made it that much tougher on them. That's something that they would remember. Something else that they would remember is approaching the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army, watching them, following them, chasing them down. And now standing there in front of what seemed an insurmountable obstacle, God parted the waters right there in front of them, and they were able to walk across on dry ground. And then when Pharaoh's army chased them, the walls of water collapsed, and he saved them from that. But it wasn't long after that they started to grumble and complain against God again. We're thirsty. We should have stayed in Egypt. At least we would have had water there. Even though we're beaten and tormented, at least we would have had water and we wouldn't thirst. So what did God do? He gave them water. But that wasn't enough for them either. God, thank you for giving us water. Thank you for delivering us. But you know what? We're hungry. You haven't given us anything to eat. We should have just stayed in Egypt where we had food. Never mind that we were beaten and persecuted and slavery. At least we would have had food. So what did God do for them? He brought manna from heaven. Give them quails to eat supernaturally. That's what's going through their mind when he says, remember. But do you think that was enough? It wasn't long after that he miraculously gave them bread and meat. God, we're thirsty again. We're in the desert. There's no water. We should have stayed in Egypt. They've forgotten already about the miracles that he had just performed. We need water again. And God was patient. He gave them water again. Constant grumbling and complaining in light of God's mercy and His miracles. How many of you can say that is a reflection of your life? God brings us through things within a matter of sometimes minutes. We're grumbling and complaining. I want us to remember some things this morning. We should know them, really. But we need constant reminders. And I'm going to use quite a few scriptures this morning, because it's hard to argue with that. Let's turn to Galatians 3:10. This is Paul writing, and he's writing. A lot of Paul's writings was to remind his audience, hey, here's what God's done for you. Galatians 3, verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. What's the next word if you look on the screen? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Let's go over to verse 21 in the same chapter. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in who? Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Go over a couple of books to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Got to understand the audience that Paul was writing to. They weren't even removed 100 years from Christ's death and His resurrection. Paul told them, hey, you can actually go talk to some of the people who witnessed it. And they were already being distracted. People telling them, you know what, Christ isn't enough. You got to go back to the old way. So Paul has to remind them that it's all about Christ. It always has been. So what was the law for? Remember, the Sabbath, keeping it holy, was part of that law. Where was it to point us? It was to point us to Christ. The law was never intended to earn God's favor. If you're relying on your good works, being better than the next guy, trying harder, it's not going to work. It's just how it is. That's how God made it. You can't work hard enough to earn God's favor. Remember that. Let's go to the book of James. James chapter 2. Verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at how many? Just one is guilty of breaking how much? All of it. Just one. Just one. Let's flip back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. That's what the law was for. It wasn't to earn favor. It was to point us to Christ. Romans 6:23, first part of that verse. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Now what? I'm in bad shape. There's more to the story, thank God. Finish reading that verse with me. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Flip back a few pages, Romans 3, or swipe a few screens, I guess, now. Romans 3, 21. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's always been about Him all along. From the very beginning, it's always been about Jesus. I don't think we can argue with that at all. I've proven it with Scripture. Let's go over to John. John chapter 6. Verse 28. And this is the disciples asking this. The guys who have been with Jesus. Then they asked Him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. He said, that's me. Believe in me. That's the first point in your bulletin. It'll actually be the second one there. Our most important work in order to rest, believe in Jesus. Not only is the most important work, that's the only work that will satisfy God. Let's go to Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 10. Now then, why do you try to test God? This is Peter talking. Why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. That yoke he's referring to is, hey, these guys believed in Jesus. Now you're wanting them to go back and keep the law. This is Peter. He's telling these guys, listen, we couldn't even keep it ourselves, and we thought we were the ones who had it right. There was no way we could keep it, so why do you want them to keep it? It's about Jesus. Flip back to Matthew chapter 11. This was Jesus' counter-argument to Peter and those guys who wanted to make the law so heavy, so burdensome. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find what rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Forget about the law. Just believe in me. That's the next point. True rest. Keyword being true rest. It's better than the Sabbath rest. Rest. True rest. The rest of forgiveness of sins by the shedding of blood. Jesus paid the price that God demanded. He did it for us. He wanted us to rest from ceasing and striving to earn His favor. Just rest in me. Do what I've asked you to do. Rest in me. Last point in your bulletin, they come quick. We rest from our trying harder to obtain holiness in God's acceptance. At this point, I don't remember, I think it was on Friday morning, I'm sitting here and I'm going through this. I'm doing my study, getting my thoughts together. And at this very point, right here, something happened in my house. Details don't matter. I lost it. Within a matter of minutes, and I'm sitting here thinking of this, I lost my temper with my kids. Anger, verging on rage. Guys, just listen and stop. Got a little heavier than that, of course. In a matter of minutes, I done blew it, done screwed up again. I have no hope without Christ. The harder I try to do good and to be good, the more I realize all of my righteousness are as filthy rags. It's hard to be a parent. It is. Sometimes you have to rest in Jesus to get you through it. I have to depend on Him, because if I don't, I'm doomed. It's just that simple. Without Christ, I can't do what I need to do in this life. There'd be a lot more striving and trying to obtain all kinds of things if I don't rest in Him. I want everybody to stand. Oh, and one little tidbit that I forgot to mention. Just as an aside, like I said, it's been 7 years. I'd spoke several times before that, up until like last year. Sorry, Mark. Mark finally broke the record for the longest sermon in Cornerstone history. No problem. But before that, the previous two or three were me. Approaching an hour. I'm in like 20 minutes this morning. I want everyone just to close their eyes and take a deep breath. That breath is a gift from God. Go ahead, take another one. Rest in Him. Remember what He's done for you. God, thank You for what You've done for us. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's about the mind sometimes. Just turn it to God. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what? Think about such things. Part of resting is engaging the mind and really paying attention to what God's done for you, what He's brought you through. There are circumstances in your life that without God you wouldn't have come through. Psalm 62. Verses 1 and 2. And this is what we've been focused on. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Drop down to verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Back to Psalm 46, kind of back to where we started with Mark a few weeks back. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the I want to ask the praise team to come make their way back up here. I want everyone to take this opportunity to participate with me. Randy had a little exercise last week where we all just sit. We just had some quiet time. We're going to do the same thing again. We're going to do it with one of the ways that I like to rest, and that's to hear these guys sing and lead us in worship. Can we pray? Lord, help us to take time right now to rest and reflect on You, to remember what You've brought us through, Lord, help us to be still and know that You're God alone. And with you by our side, we won't be shaken. God, we need you. We desperately need you. Lord, as we reflect on you, may that be what gives us hope for the week. Lord, and help us to find minutes every day to reflect on your goodness and your mercy and, Lord, your grace. We got to have it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Overcome the grave, your glory fills the highest place.
I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me, there's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me? I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me, there's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil, you made a
you said that it is done.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Lord, sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness, temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. And Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Salvation. It's only through your blood.